All right, good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to try this again. Sounds better, doesn't it?
Yes.
I get one yes. Appreciate the feedback. Oh, there it goes. Well, good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. It's good to have you all here this morning, this Sunday after Thanksgiving. And we're going to talk about Thanksgiving this morning. Does it sound bad again? Okay. Well, we had a very good Sunday school hour, and it was fun to kind of hear in deeper into people's lives, and we shared through. The assignment was bring five pictures that kind of explain your life, and just a good exercise in going deeper to getting to know one another. And it's interesting, you know, there were a lot of tears, and, you know, when you think about some of the most wonderful memories in our lives, the most wonderful thoughts of people, oftentimes kind of bring us to tears when it's kind of a strange exchange of love and joy, but then the fact that they're no longer with us can bring tear and kind of re-up that pain of loss. And yet we praise God that we had the opportunity to love. And so without that deep love, there would be not that sorrow as well. And we can relate that then to what God has done for us in sending His Son, and the pain that was felt in when Jesus came and when the Father turned His face away and He took on all that sin of the world. And really that is kind of, not to give you the ahead of everything, but that is what gives us the ability, the chance to be joyful. We're going to be looking at Psalm 100 if you want to start to find your place there this morning. But oftentimes we talk of thanks. Sometimes we say, you know, give thanks. That would be praying. And I guess here's an illustration. Two men were walking through a field when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, it darted towards them, and so they took off towards the nearest fence. And as the storming bull followed in hot pursuit, it was soon apparent that they were not going to make it. Terrified, the one man shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I have never made a prayer in public." Anybody relate to that? Some of us don't love to be put on the spot. He said, "But you must." He told him, "The bull is catching up to us and we're doomed." John said, "All right then. I will pray the only prayer that I know that I've heard my father say, and that he repeated often at the table." He said, "O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Now we chuckle, and it's funny, but you know, we're going to see as we go through this, we should have that thankfulness, that joy in all circumstances. And so I guess it's not a terrible prayer, actually, at that moment. The Bible says a lot about prayer, really. This is off the English translation, obviously. There are two main words in the Greek and the Hebrew that kind of carry the idea. But first of all, if we do a quick search, the word thanks you find 75 times. Thanksgiving is 28 times. Thank, singular, is 27. Thankful, 3 times. Thanked, 3 times. Thanksgivings, 2 times. And thankfulness, 1 time. That's a total of 139 times that the Bible speaks of thankfulness. And as Michael kind of said this morning, we're quick to pray all of our requests and ask for, we need this and we need that and we want healing. That's not a terrible thing, but how balanced is our prayer life with thanksgiving? And we're going to see kind of how we can balance that, how we can return thanks to the Lord through all of that. So as I said, the idea of thanks in the Old Testament and the Hebrew word, you see that about 102 times, and then the concept of it in the New Testament about 71 times. The interesting thing, though, is that it's a virtue that you can't just get. I mean, we get a piece of it when we come to know Christ, and that's, again, kind of the basis of all of this. But it's a virtue that we have to practice. And we're going to get some practical things as we go throughout here. How can we practice being thankful? But I think to understand it, we're going to answer 3 questions this morning. We're going to look at the reason for thankfulness. We're going to look at the expression of it, how do we express it, and then the attitude that we should have in it. Now, before we stand and read Psalm 100, I want to just say that the opposite of thankfulness is what? Nobody knows? Come on. Add an un in front of it. Unthankfulness, ungratefulness. And it's interesting, Wiersbe writes this, and I would agree, as we think of where did the root of unthankfulness come in, obviously, at the fall of man when sin entered into the world. But he puts it this way. He says, it was when our first parents became unthankful that the human race began that terrible descent into sin and judgment. Instead of being thankful for what they had, Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie that the Lord was holding out on them, and this led to their sin. He says, a thankful spirit is a triumphant spirit. I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, we often think that the first sin was pride, right? They wanted to be like God, but even before that pride stepped in, there was a root of unthankfulness, this idea that God was holding out on them. They were no longer grateful for everything that he had given, this perfect garden, and they focused on the one thing that was forbidden to them, and that's what spiraled us into the estate that we are in this day and age with sin. Okay, so let's stand. We're going to read Psalm 100, and then we're going to work through this morning. I'll move out of the way here. Psalm 100. It says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we come before you today in this season of thanksgiving, this national holiday. Lord, and we would be amiss if this was the only time that we were truly thankful. But we do thank you for the holiday that it is, the opportunity that it provides for us to reflect. God, I pray as we look through your word this morning that you would help us to just have an attitude of thankfulness, that you would help us to grow just in our daily lives of seeing how each and every little piece works together for your purpose. God, guide us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're just going to work through this psalm, but we're going to do it kind of out of order, and you'll have to bear with me here. But the first thing that we're going to see is that the reason for thankfulness is obviously God. But that's not enough, because just the idea that God is there doesn't necessarily build thankfulness into my life. There are people who believe that there is a God. There are people who believe that there is not a God. And they can be thankful people as well. But for us as believers in Jesus Christ, it is this fact of knowing who God is and believing it. So that's a head knowledge, and then applying it is the believing side of it. So if we look at verse 3, it says, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We know that in the Bible, often when it speaks of knowing, it's an intimate type of knowledge. Paul said in Philippians, what we just studied, Philippians 3, that he considered all things. He went through his whole list of the great spiritual things that he had accomplished, that he was born into, all of those things. Then he just says everything is considered to be dung, a pile of dung, to the knowledge, to the wisdom of knowing who God was, the surpassing greatness, he said, of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. So I would say, just as the starting point of wisdom is the knowledge of God, I think the starting point of thankfulness is also the knowledge of God. But it can't stay there. It's only the starting point. It has to be applied to our lives, and that is the believing piece of it. That's what allows us to apply the knowledge. Wiersbe says this about that verse. He says that it's a simple statement of faith. Jehovah is God. He is the creator, the redeemer, the shepherd, and we are to submit to him. If the sheep do not submit to their shepherd, they will stray into danger. And so this kind of led me into thinking through, what does it mean to be sheep? And I mentioned that last week, kind of joking that in Togo you could tell the sheep from the goats because the sheep were so dumb and they wouldn't move out of the way of the truck, and the goats obviously would. And so we're often related to or are talked of as sheep in the Bible. Psalm 23 is a great example. You know that. The Lord is my shepherd. 1 Peter 5, Jesus is called the chief shepherd. John 10, Jesus gives a whole discourse on we are his sheep. He's the good shepherd. The sheep know his voice and they come to him. In Hebrews 13:20, Jesus is called the Great Shepherd. And then the next thing that I saw was this idea that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. And I kind of had to think through this for a while, but it's really a cool parallel to the gospel message. So we're the sheep. We're the dumb animal out wandering around. We will cause ourselves harm and trouble left on our own. And we have this good shepherd, God, that is over us. And then the good shepherd becomes a sheep. He becomes the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, and took on that form and lived that unblemished life so that we could have salvation. And he, again, became the sacrifice. We read about this in all over the place, John 1:29, Acts 8, 1 Peter 1, Revelation 5, 6. I thought that was pretty neat. I guess I've never thought of it in that sense, that Jesus, who is our good shepherd, became like the lamb, became like the sheep, and paid the penalty that we could not pay on our own. The other piece in this verse here then is that he says that it's kind of a strange when you read it. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. And we kind of think of that in the realm of creation, but I think it's deeper than that as well, because it goes on to say that we are his people. He created us. He made us to be his people, his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And so that has then the idea of the gospel message. That is the gospel message. He called us out of our sin, made a way for us to be once again right before him, and gave us that salvation. And then the last piece of that, and we add verse 5 in there, so we look to verse 3 and then verse 5. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. So this is the knowledge of God. We have to know and understand that the Lord is good, and that's key when we're going through those hard struggles, those hard times, to continue to understand that God is good, that he has our best interests in mind, even when we can't see it. And then I like the idea, too, that it's for all generations. That's, again, the piece where we are to pass it down. We are to explain it to our children. And that kind of goes into our next point, then. And you could add that in there, this idea. Okay, I went ahead. So our next point, then, is proclaiming and serving God is how we express it. This is the expression. We're going to flip back, if you still have your Bibles open, we're going to flip back to kind of the last five Psalms as well, and just grab a couple chunks out of each one of them. Trey, will you turn it down just a little bit? It's kind of squeaky. Psalm 100 is kind of this climactic point of this group of Psalms, 90, they say 94 through 100, but then if you continue on, you see it also in the next ones as well. But I just want to grab a few pieces out of each one of these. So Psalm 95, see if you can pick up on something in here. It says, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And if you look over to Psalm 96, verse 1 again, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. If we keep going. Whoops. Psalm 97, at the very end of it, it says, Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Psalm 98:1, Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. And down to verse 4, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth with singing, break forth and sing for joy, and sing praises. Sing praise to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, before the King, the Lord. Psalm 99, verse 3, let us praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Verse 9, extol the Lord our God and worship him on this holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. And again, you could keep going. I like Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons your iniquities? Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? So what is the key that we see throughout all of this? A lot of proclaiming, a lot of shouting and exclaiming, a lot of singing praise to the Lord. And so the proclaim piece of this, I think, is really two-part. So first of all, we proclaim to Him. So that is worship. That is, we are returning to Him, we are worshiping Him, we are expressing our gratitude and our joy in the things that He has done. And it's key that it always says what He has done. It never says, you know, praise Him for who He claims to be or what He says He does, but it's always based on action. God is a God of action, and we've talked about that in the last few weeks with ourselves as well. We can't just be Christians who claim to be Christians. We have to be living it out. And so we shout to Him. That's the first piece of proclaiming, but it does lead then to service because we see the example of God Himself, how He serves, how He does, how He acts. The other piece then is that we proclaim it to others. We testify. This is both in hoping to share the gospel, to evangelize, and also just in praising God together. I think that's what we did this morning in Sunday school, is we shared our stories. Some of them were tough, some of them were sad, some of them were happy, but together we're explaining, we're proclaiming the goodness of God and how He has led us through our lives up to these points. So we speak and we do, we proclaim, we do as God has called us to do. We don't just say it and shout it. And then we're going to go on then. The next thing is that we do this with joyfulness and thanksgiving. And so we're kind of in the same two verses. We shout, but then it's joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. And then we serve Him. How do we serve Him? Grumbling and unhappy, not wanting to do it. Or do we serve Him with gladness? We come before Him with joyful singing. Now, it is possible to be thankful without actually having the sentiment of thankfulness. We do this with our kids. You say, tell them thank you, and they say thank you and run off. But is that really clicking in their brains? When you tell your brother you're sorry, the same idea. Okay, I'll tell him, but I'm not, and I will hit him again. You know, that idea, where is it coming from? We have to have a heart change. And so as we begin to understand who God is, as we begin to understand this gospel message and how it applies to our lives, it should then boil out of us in thankfulness, joyfulness. Now, I'm pretty sure we did this a while back, but if you look up joyfulness in just the regular dictionary, it's all kind of experiential. It says experiencing, causing, showing joy and happiness. But if you look it up in the Bible dictionary, it says that it's closely related to gladness and happiness, although joy is more of a state of being than an emotion. It's the result of choice. So we can choose to be joyful. We can choose to be thankful. We can choose to be glad in the Lord. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 through 23, love, joy, peace, patience, you know, all of those. Having joy is part of the experience of being a Christian. And so we question sometimes if there's somebody who's just always down, who has no joy in the Lord. Do they truly understand what God has done for them? Do they truly understand this gospel message? Because as we said before, it does change you. It has to change us. So joyfulness is the first one. And then the next one then is thanksgiving. And that's what we're talking all about, is how do we become people who are thankful? And a part of it is an attitude. But how do we encourage that in our lives? And let me just give you a few practical things. As I said earlier, it's not a virtue that we can just that just shows up in our life. We have to acquire it. We have to work towards thankfulness. So here are a few practical things. First of all, simply practice giving thanks. We've tried this at our house a few times when one of the kids will be negative or grumpy about something. We say, okay, now give us two positives. Now, it never works because, again, you can't force thankfulness. But I think it might be a good practice that we could do for ourselves. So when I catch myself being negative, being grumpy about something, stop and say, okay, what can I praise God for in that situation, in that thing that's driving me crazy? How can I praise God for that? How is He going to use that to change me, to draw me closer to Himself? And so we kind of rewire our brains to think, and then maybe we don't go down that path of negativeness. The next time we see something that normally would have frustrated us, we go immediately to, well, maybe God can do this and that, or maybe God's teaching me this and that. And then the two keys, obviously, are expressing our thankfulness, both in the good and the bad. Now, sometimes we forget in the good times because we think, well, everything's great, and maybe it's because I'm doing so well or whatever the case may be, but we need to recognize that when things are going well, that is God. When things are going maybe not so well, that is God also teaching us and working in our lives. So in both situations, in the good and the bad, we have to learn to give thanks, to see the good, to see what God is doing. And then the last one is kind of the same as the first one, but how do we show our gratitude, our thankfulness to other people? So we can work a lot in our own heads and trying to get to become a thankful person, but how do we also let that come out of us? One thing I read said that we're often the least grateful, we show the least gratitude to those in our lives that we're the closest to, who probably deserve it the most. So a good starting point would be to show thankfulness, gratefulness to those in our lives who deserve it, who we need to thank for all that they do. So those are pretty simple things to do. And what I like about this psalm as well is that if we look at the flip side of it, if we follow this psalm, if we follow what God is saying here, what does it eliminate from our lives? And there are some definite things that it eliminates. First of all, it eliminates complaining if we when we replace that with joyful praise. It's hard to shout for joy to the Lord and complain at the same time, isn't it? If the true shouting is for joy. The next one is idolatry. It replaces that with glad service. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful singing. Our pride is eliminated. It's replaced with the true knowledge of God. He is God. He created us. We didn't do anything for it, either in creation or in salvation. There was nothing that I did to earn that or to merit that. It gets rid of ingratitude and replaces it with thanksgiving. Again, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And then it also gets rid of our... Am I behind? Yep. It gets rid of our earthly perspective. We've talked a lot about that with Paul's book in Philippians. Always his mind was on eternity. And you can't have an earthly perspective when you say that for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. That forces us to think in the eternal realm. It forces us to share that with our children and our friends and people who are around us. You can't live in an earthly perspective following that psalm. I thought this was interesting. Somebody wrote, why did the only one leper who was cleansed returned to Jesus? You ever pondered that? The 10 lepers that were cleansed, and they all went away, and only one of them came back to thank him. And somebody has just kind of brainstormed, or whatever you want to say, come up with a few ideas. He says maybe one waited to see if the cure was real, so he didn't truly believe it. He was waiting to see if it was real. Or one waited to see if it would actually last. He knew he was cured, but he wanted to see if this thing was going to actually take. Says maybe one thought, well, I'll see Jesus later. We'll probably all fall victim to that one. I'll thank my wife later when I think of it, but then we probably don't think of it. Maybe one decided that he never had leprosy. That one, we can relate to that one in our world today, right? Just this level of, well, maybe I just didn't have it. I dreamt it, or my reality is skewed. Maybe one said he would have gotten rid of it anyway. He would have gotten well on his own, so he didn't need to thank Jesus for that. Maybe one of them gave glory to the priest. Jesus said, go and sacrifice, do the offering that Moses prescribed for being healed. And so maybe he gave the glory to the priest. Or maybe one said, you know, Jesus didn't really do anything anyhow. All he did was say a word and I got better, so I don't really need to thank him for that, do I? Or maybe one said, any rabbi could have done that. Or maybe one said, you know, I was already doing quite a bit better. Again, that same idea that I was probably going to get over it on my own. It's an interesting thing to think about. You know, how often do we take for granted the little things that God has provided in our lives? The little things where he has, you know, healed us or given us something that we didn't deserve. So as we kind of wrap this up here, again, the whole idea of thankfulness has to start with knowing who God is, knowing the gospel message. I don't think that we can ever be truly grateful as prescribed by the Bible without understanding the gospel message, without coming to the point of saying, I'm a sinner, I need salvation, Jesus has provided that on the cross, I need to believe it and trust in Him as my Savior. And even with that, if those of us who have done that, you know, we know that we have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, even with that, there are times when we lose sight of the reality of the gospel message. It's profound, it's life-changing. So we need to know and we need to believe it. And then we need to proclaim it to God. We should be noted, we should be known as a people who proclaim the goodness of God. We proclaim the gospel. We proclaim, we worship Him, we serve Him through our acts of service, through the opportunities that God gives us, whether that be in the church or outside of the church. And then we do all of this, again, with the right attitude. It can be faked, but it can't be faked for very long. I want to close up, and we're going to look at a couple verses here in the New Testament that really kind of have this same outline, the same idea that help us understand this. So turn to Ephesians 5. We're going to end with Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. So at least you think that, you know, all this thankful business is in the Psalms, and it is. It's all over the place. But the same ideas right here in both of these passages, and again, I would say throughout the entire New Testament. But Ephesians 5, we'll look at 18 through 20. Ready? Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, it says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So that's kind of that knowing and doing part. You're not filled with the Spirit unless you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and His Spirit fills you. Then he says, going on, and this is your proclaiming and serving, "Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks." Here's your thanks and your attitude. For all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. So again, that is the exact same outline that we have there. Now let's flip over a couple pages to Colossians, and we'll just see one more. Colossians chapter 3. So we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 25. And here's what it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." I said through 25, but we're stopping at 17. So again, the same idea is there. And it's, you know, I keep talking about how cool God's word is. And really, this is the same message that we continue to hear over and over, that we've been looking at in Paul's life. How do we get an eternal perspective? How do we get that single-minded life of living for Jesus Christ? And when you get to that point of understanding that, I think that you can't help but be overflowing with thanks, with thanksgiving. Again, we would be amiss if we only took this day, past Thursday, to overeat and then to thank God. You know, we should be doing this throughout our entire year, throughout our entire lives, every day, praising God for all that He has done and is doing in our lives. We're going to close in prayer, and then we have kind of an exciting, special thing. We have 7 new church members that have joined the church, and we're going to have them come up here and just kind of present them to you. Travis, I think I'll have you come up as well. Let's close in prayer first, and then we'll talk about it. Father God, again, thank You for just Your word and the way that it guides us and teaches us. Lord, help us to be a people who are grateful, who are always mindful of every little gift, every little thing that You do in this life. And Lord, we know that there's nothing that goes on without You ordaining it. And so, God, we just give You praise for all things. God, I thank You for this church and the way that You are binding us together just in unity and love for one another. and for you. And thank you for these new members who have joined the church as well. And God, I just pray that you would be glorified in this day. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.